I have old Andrew Sabre with us for another Monday morning. Morning, fellas.
Good morning.
Very sad, Andrew, about the death yesterday in Australia, Andrew Symonds.
Yeah, tragic. I always remember him as being a real attacking cricketer. You know, ahead of his time, really. He would have been, I think he sort of retired near the start of T20 starting to emerge. But he would have been a superstar in the IPL. Very entertaining guy on and off the field, had his issues off the field.
Yeah.
Real tragedy.
Yeah. What do you make of it, Andrew? Guy?
He was pretty underrated, I thought, in terms of what he could do. He could tear attacks apart with the bat. Then he could bowl very good off spin and very good medium pace. And then he was probably one of the best fielders that you could hope to have in your team. He was an exceptional cricketer. Went about it in a fun, enjoyable way that I think even if you didn't support Australia, you enjoyed watching him because you didn't know what he was going to do. And my lasting memory, while he was a exceptional cricketer, when he flattened the streaker, I think that was probably one of the highlights of his career.
Was that a moment in time, Andrew? I mean, you're older than all of us put together, I think. But when you go to if they ran out today, in is there anyone in the New Zealand cricket team that would shoulder barge anybody anymore? Do you know what I mean?
Well, I know there'd be a few in there that could and would probably want to.
Yeah, but that's different though, isn't it?
But given the sort of reaction you'd get today,
exactly,
they wouldn't.
That was that woman the other day. Remember the woman the other day who got tackled by the guard?
And there was someone at Eden Park that got flattened by security as well. Look, if you run on the field, you get what you deserve.
Yeah, couldn't agree more. But in this day and age, people go, oh no, that was a bit rough. Oh no, they might have had some issues. Oh no, you better not touch them and all that sort of stuff. It's just a time and a place thing, I thought. Now, let me talk to you about Guy. You know, I'm assuming you know him reasonably well, Brendan McCullum. Tell me this.
Yes.
So first of all, he comes out of nowhere, allegedly, for this job. Then we start speculating the day before it's announced, and our speculation is it will probably be short form, if not white ball. Turns out, or if not the whole lot, turns out it's test cricket. How do we explain all of this, and is it a big deal?
Well, you were watching the wrong news, clearly, because we were saying it was
Did you call it the whole time?
Yeah, we called it. I think this is one of the most exciting things that could happen to world cricket at the moment. Look, McCullum doesn't have test coaching experience, but you only have to turn your mind back a few years to know that he was a pretty darn good test player. And when you partner him up with someone like Ben Stokes, I think that's a recipe for just utter carnage, utter excitement, and kind of must view cricket. I think it's a masterstroke from Rob Key. He might not make an immediate impact against New Zealand. He's only going to have them for 2 weeks before that first test. But man, on paper, I think it's genius.
What do you make of it, Andrew?
Yeah, look, he'll attract plenty of fans back if they had left. I think the England team, what guy was it, one test win over about 25 or something?
Yeah, 23, 25? 17, I think it was, something like that.
He never leaves you guessing, and I'm sure that's the style he'll want to instill in the England team. I would imagine there'll be a ton of pressure on him, though, in England.
Of course.
You know, the tabloids will start sniffing around Ben Stokes and him, probably. He'll be on huge money. There'll be massive expectations. But there's always been massive expectations on Brendan McCullum, so I think he should handle it well.
Well, I just I wish him well in this whole, you know, he's in New Zealand. I couldn't care less about where you come from. If you're a good coach, you hire talent. I don't care what flag you fly. But what I always find interesting, Guy, is that just because he's a great player, and this is not necessarily specific to him, I don't know whether he's a good coach or not, but just because you're a good player doesn't make you a good coach automatically.
Yeah,
just
true.
Because you're a swashbuckler, you don't go to the dressing room and go, be like me.
It's different in cricket, Mike. It's different because as a captain, you're almost a coach on the field anyway.
Yeah.
You're having to come up with tactics, you're having to plan. It's different to a lot of other sport, cricket.
I think it's not so technical. He's not going in there for his technical capabilities or anything like that. He's going in there for a kind of mindset change, a different way they play technique. He's not going in there for a technique. He's going in there for more tactics, like be more aggressive, have a different mindset, you know, take the opposition on, that sort of thing. And I see, very interestingly, and this did make me chuckle, that reportedly one of the first things that they've got rid of in that team is the midnight curfew. So he's pretty much saying, look, you boys go and do what you need to do outside of cricket. As long as you come back here and you're happy and you want to play, then I'm good with that.
We wish him well. What'd you like rugby-wise, Andrew?
I tell you what I did see a little bit over the weekend was the European Cup semi-final between, I think it was Toulouse and Leinster, French team versus an Irish team. Outstanding rugby.
Was it?
Well, you should watch a replay in between your snooker replays, mate, because...
Premier League now, Sev.
So that's right. A lot of clubs up there, Mike, are playing a very, very good standard of rugby and using the ball more than the teams down here.
Good.
Yeah.
Because I happened to see the end of the Chiefs game, and the commentators were interesting because the Rebels were winning. And even though the Rebels were winning, the commentators had already written the game off, saying the Chiefs can score from anywhere in the field, you just watch. And then sure enough, they did, and that was the end of that.
Yes, great finish. Yeah. The Crusaders played well the other night, and the Blues are exciting to watch. I would imagine, I think we've mentioned this the past few weeks, it'll be Blues Crusaders 1 and 2, Blues Crusaders final.
That'll be quite exciting, wouldn't it? Guy, the cycling report is out today. I mean, is it sorted to the extent that the people concerned are gone? And because they're gone, does that solve the problem and prevent it happening again?
No, I don't think so. From all accounts, there's not going to be a lot about Olivia Podmore as such. It's going to be a broader view than that. What I think, no matter what comes out of this, I think there's just quite a lot of pressure now on the likes of Raylene Castle, Phil Holden, who used to be the boss at New Zealand Rugby League, now the chair of Cycling New Zealand, to come in and make some changes and make sure whatever is recommended in this report, because there are bound to be recommendations about how to change things. I think it's just vitally important that things are changed and athletes are made to feel safe and happy, yeah, and can have an environment that they know they can perform to their best in, but also, you know, not get overwhelmed by and not get bullied in. I haven't seen the report. I don't know what's in it, but I suspect it'll be something along those lines. And as I say, I really think there's a lot of pressure now on the bosses of New Zealand sport to make sure it's a good environment for these.
What do you reckon, Sab? You've been around a long time. Are we at a sort of a crossroads?
We are at a crossroads, mate. So there's a real, there's a societal change. It's a real balancing act more than ever as to how far you can push athletes, how much toll you can put on them physically and mentally before issues start to happen. Conversely, how much pressure to put on them to make sure they're the best in the world. That is a real key balancing act, and it's clear some sports have got it wrong in the past, and they'll need to get it right in the future. Look, there was a cycling review done in 2018, and it appears as though nothing was done or very little was done after that review, because this review wouldn't have had to happen.
No.
If those findings
were put into place last time. What's the first question you asked the chef to mission ahead of the Olympics? How many medals are we going to win?
Exactly.
It's essentially all that sport at that level's about, isn't it? You're never going to ask the chef to mission, is everyone happy?
That won't change, will it?
No. Well, I hope not. That's my problem. My problem is I want winners, and I like winners, and I want us winning, and sport and winning intricately linked to the success of this country. And if all of a sudden we're just going to go, is everyone happy? We all happy? Just go and have a good time.
Again, it's a it's a balancing act. I think athletes needed to be treated correctly. However, Mike, some are always going to make it. And we've had this conversation before, right?
Mm.
Some athletes, no matter how they're treated, no matter what they go through, are going to make it to the top because that's within them and that's how they act and that's how they're going to succeed and win. It is a big, big balancing act.
Yeah, it is. Tell you what, Guy, how good was the second half of the Warriors?
How good was the first half, Mike? How good was the first half?
It was a game of two halves, Guy.
I may have seen a video of you in the first half. You weren't exactly a happy Warriors fan, were you? My God, where were they?
No,
what were they doing?
I don't know.
The second half was
good. Hold on a minute. Where did this video appear?
It might have been up on a little platform called Instagram, Andrew.
My wife.
Is Mike on Insta? No.
My wife films me surreptitiously without me knowing and sticks me on
this
social media for giggles.
I must log on and go on to @thehoss. Is it? What's the Instagram account called?
I don't know what it is. But I tell you what was encapsulated, I understand, in that video clip is me going, this might be one of the greatest comebacks of all time. And I tell you, we were within 60 seconds of just that.
You can hang on to this for as long as you want, Mike. 60 seconds away from winning is not winning.
That is true.
You don't get a bonus point in the NRL. You don't get anything in the NRL.
What I like to bring to journalism is a breath. Now, What I'm saying here is, what's been our problem for the last 2 weeks? Second halves.
I like to bring Melbourne, realism.
Second halves, right? We fixed our second half problem.
What's been the problem for 27 years? On one half they collapse, on the second half they fight back and almost win. It's been 27 years like that.
That is true. Yeah, no.
I honestly don't know how you guys, being Warriors fans, do it. I genuinely do not know.
Because we, Guy, are headed to the promised land.
If the promised land is missing the eight again, then my word, enjoy that.
Maybe next year.
And when we get to the promised land and we're knocking on the door, mate, all you fly-by-nighters, you'll be coming in, you'll be asking for quotes, you'll be looking for access to the team, you want some extra time in the locker room, we're not going to give it to you. Because you weren't there for the ride anyway, got a motor. Good to see you guys. Andrew Saville, Guy Havelle.